Can I just say I'm exhausted? I want to see what Louis Navalier has to say. He has seen his share of crises, volatility, market cycles. He's chairman, founder, and CEO, CIO, excuse me, of Navalier & Associates. And he joins us from...
Rancho Santa Fe, California.
Nice, nice.
Are you just north of San Diego? I don't even know why he's inside right now. He should be outside.
I know.
But it's a beautiful
don't
sunny day.
Don't you want to go outside?
I was out playing golf, yeah.
Really? So then you're not worried about the market?
No, because I have good earnings. And the real good earnings kick off next week with Taiwan Semiconductor, although I don't own that stock, but it's a bellwether. I think Netflix will probably be okay. And then we'll start to focus on earnings. And I live quarter to quarter. So I think there's 4 months of efficient markets, which is earnings season, and 8 months of mean reversion. And the mean reversion season will end soon.
Wait. Okay. So we... Wait, I'm just like this is what dumbfounded.
You know what? You should have gone and played a game of golf today, Carol, because it relaxes you.
Apparently.
And everything is fine.
How do you... So what's your read on Washington? What's your read on the president? And what's your read on tariffs?
The bond vigilantes are in charge. Obviously, they had a... Scott Bessent had a meeting with President Trump and Howard... was there, our Commerce Secretary.
Howard Lutnick.
Those are both experts in treasuries, and the bond vigilantes took over. So they had to put the 90-day suspension on.
But so then what do you think was going on in the White House today as we saw a bunch of selling?
I think the bond vigilantes are still in charge. We had a 30-year bond auction and
Went well.
We got away with it. But the dollar's weak. Apparently a lot of the people own our treasuries are net sellers, and they're just not as friendly as they used to be. I personally think that rates will collapse in Europe, and then the dollar will get its mojo back. But for the short term, these big institutional bond players are in charge, and they allowed our treasury yields to spike, and they had to do something, so they put the 90-day suspension on.
Hey, Rich, we spoke to Rich Weiss at American Century Investments. I'm looking at my notes here to go back to what he told us. He called this uncertainty on steroids. He said he's not buying the dips. He said this downturn is more serious than other ones. He called it man-made and a catastrophe. He was pretty dour. He had warnings. It doesn't seem like you have the same sentiment.
Well, I mean, I'm a quant. I'm a fundamental quant. And I will confirm that our models tightened up, and the models would like us to be in the top 5%, the creme la creme. The way those models work is when the market goes down 5%, we can withstand that. When it goes down 20, we can't withstand it. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. But fortunately, the babies bounced yesterday. And I mean, you know, I had portfolios up over 19% yesterday. And it was a big bounce. I mean, obviously we got spanked today. So I feel very confident that when earnings come out, things will right itself. I mean, you just
but
want
do you
the
care about do you care about backward earnings, or are you saying that you are confident that the outlooks are going to be good too?
No, I'm on the outlooks. I don't have analyst cuts.
Okay.
I have 80 stocks I own. I do not have analyst cuts. I'm not talking about the top down strategists that lower their target for the S&P. No, I'm talking about the actual analysts that cover the companies. So I'm pretty insulated right now, and I'm very comfortable. You know, my largest holdings are NVIDIA and Supermicro. You saw how they bounced. I have a big holding in Lilly. Obviously, it's struggling here with the fear of, the tariffs on the pharmaceutical ingredients and all. But, this could have been rolled out a lot better. Obviously, Peter Navarro was fighting with Elon and all that stuff, and that didn't help, you know. Also, I did notice a lot of the negative press was coming from outside America. And, those markets would gap down and it would put us in a piss poor mood. And this is in the previous days. But, the good news is they're responding to the market. Who knew that Trump Social was one of the best ways to call the market? And that's controversial itself.
What, go on with that. What do you mean?
Well, he's told everybody to buy. Yesterday morning before the market opened.
You believe that?
Yeah, no, he put in print. It was all in caps with three exclamation points.
No. I mean, I saw that, but I mean, yeah.
Well,
he didn't tell us what to buy. He didn't tell us whether we should buy cars or houses or stocks, you know, so he's not going to persecuted for it. I know Adam Schiff wants to persecute him, but I found that to be very interesting, you know.
Louis, given what we learned in the last 27 hours, this 90-day pause, is that just kicking the can down the road here?
No.
Why not?
No. Well, there's two things. First, we're going to have a 10% tariff, okay? Those are non-negotiable. And the reason they're doing that is we have a big underground economy. So I'm in California where 20% of people don't have bank accounts. And guess what? You either have to put a VAT tax on them or tariffs. So that's what they're going to do to get more tax revenue. As far as the reciprocal tariffs, it looks like most countries will cave. You know, Israel set the standard. But even when they cave, Trump's still trying to extract business from them. You know, like, what are you going to buy? Are you going to buy energy? Are you going to buy food? What are you going to buy? And so I think that's what's complicating the tariff negotiations is they have to guilt you to buy stuff. And so in the end, we are going to get a lot of onshoring and we are going to have a boom, but we've created a tremendous amount of uncertainty. So any company that warns, okay, or guides lower is obviously going to get shot. And yeah.
You said we're going to get a boom. So you believe that this trade policy is a good thing?
Because in the end, we're going to have freer trade in the end, except for the 10%. And obviously, we're having a fight with China. We're having an economic war with China right now.
That's a pretty big trading partner to have a war with, given that these are 145% tariffs. When do those get resolved?
I don't think they get resolved. I think, Xi's got his own problems in China, you know, and he's got a deflation problem. And the Financial Times talked about they might have to devalue the currency. Their rates are lower than China than Japan. The fact they are the new Japan, they're losing millions of people a year. They're losing households. They got problem after problem after problem. So we'll see if cooler heads prevail. But Qi got rid of all the reformers, the ones that were running the economy a few years ago. So, it's just two egos going at it. And they might respect each other, but I don't know if they can get it done.
Hey, Louis, have you been moving any money into like Europe and money outside the United States?
No, because I'm expecting the dollar to get its mojo back. In fact, if the dollar does get its mojo back, it's going to help squelch those 10% tariffs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we already had a great CPI and we don't see the inflation yet. If I'm ordering things, I think it's chaos right now. And in the meantime, we've had all these goods dumped on America. I assume they're going to discount them and sell them. I mean, you know, so I think I think we'll be okay, but we need some leadership. And I think we'll get it from our semiconductors and some other places. In the meantime, we do have an energy problem because oil prices are so low, the Permian's not going to be profitable. Right. So that's going to be an interesting development. If I was Trump, I'd start putting oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to put a floor under this because he doesn't need a boom bust in the oil patch.
What happens if we do get a boom bust?
Well, we're already having a bust now. We don't have a natural gas problem. We have an oil problem.
Mm. You call this a bust right now?
Yes, because the Permian will stop drilling. Yeah.
Because it's just not profitable, right? Like you got to have Correct. A certain price Correct. In order for so it to make business
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, and Alberta's hurting. You know, this hurts Alberta. You know, they have to use natural gas to steam the tar sands. So this, and then now we obviously want a tariff on the Alberta oil. I think it's 10%. So I was actually at Mar Largo when the Alberta premier was there and she was not happy. Okay. This is before things escalated. Okay.
Tell us more.
She wasn't happy. She's that they're sticking up to Trump. She has to, because that's where the pipelines are. You know, Canada used to put oil on trains, but in 2013, one of them overturned and wiped out a nice Quebec town and killed 47 people. Mm. So basically, there's no place for Alberta to ship the oil except America. And we have, and now we're putting a little tariff, at least a 10% tariff on that. Yeah.
So, Louis, I have to ask, we just got about, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds here. Wait, you said you were at Mar-a-Lago. So were you talking with the president?
No, he's president now. When he before he was president, he would run around kind of like he's the maitre d', and he was very friendly. But when he is president, his area is roped off, and he waves to everybody. He knows who some of us are,
Were you
and
talking with
then
him before he was president?
yes, he would come in and say hi, but he pretends he knows me. I don't think he knows who I am.
Okay.
I'm not a member. I guess get invited a lot. I do live in Florida.
All right, listen, appreciate getting some time with you, and I'm sure we'll come back to you in the near future. Louis, be well. Louis Navalier, Chairman, Founder, and CIO of Navalier and Associates.